The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Amen. Now don't be afraid. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? Did you hear it? What did it remind you of? Hallelujah. It's the season, so it's fine. So this morning I'll be charging your hearts to thank God. So I'm fighting very hard to make my message very short. Is that possible? Eh? Glory to God. Just imagine one day I come to church here on a Sunday morning and I teach you for 10 minutes. How will you feel? Can I cheat you people? Can you see? So I don't want to cheat you this morning. But it's a beautiful morning. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. I'm going to charge you to give thanks. Said in everything, give thanks. In everything. Say, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, some things are not difficult to see. Sometimes when we pray and ask God for things and ask God for His will, sometimes we are asking God for things that have been answered in His word. The Bible tells us this is the will of God concerning you. So when you are in a situation and you're thinking, Father, what should I do? Before you begin to get from the Spirit what you must do, you must see what the Word of God has said. What did He say? What did He say? Give thanks. Amen? Before you begin to say, Father, what do I do? What next? Should I do this? Should I? Give thanks first. And you see, the instructions of God that come to us, I don't know why I'm pressing my spirit to say this. The instructions of God, hello, are not just, they come to you in a season, but they are not just for that season. What I mean is, I'm teaching on Thanksgiving today, not just because today is a Sunday we are giving to thank God, but because this is meant to be a lifestyle for you. What God told you and He worked in this season, that instruction will still be valid next season. Are you following me? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. So the will of God is not hard to see. You give thanks. You lift your hands. You dance for joy. You give thanks. You know, some of you that were, how many of you are here on Friday night? Let me tell you about here Friday night. That's one of the most beautiful experiences we've had since this year started. Powerful times. And I was teaching you on dancing, rejoicing in the Holy Ghost. It's a constant thing. In everything, give thanks. When you pray, for instance, and you receive a miracle, how do you respond? Talk back to me. How do you respond? You know, in Luke 17, you know, the Bible tells us from verse 11, we see the story of 10 lepers, popular story of the 10 lepers that came to Jesus. And He prayed for them, and 10 of them got healed. He gave them an instruction to obey it. 10 got healed. Only one person came back to say thank you. And Jesus was not happy about that. He said, "Were there not 10 that we are healed? Where are the other 9? And that tells you that God expects that when He works a miracle for you, that you must return with thanksgiving. Are you following me? When God works a miracle for you, you must return with thanksgiving. Don't be too quick to ask, and you won't be too quick to say thank you. Has God done a miracle for you this year? Like from January to now, any miracle? Come on, any miracle? So when you pray and you find answers to your prayers, you must return with thanksgiving. We are there not 10 healed. Where are the other 9? We are there not 10 healed. Where are the other 9? And sometimes as a pastor, I feel like asking this question all the time.
We come for a mega meeting sometimes for Zoe, and we see hundreds of miracles and testimonies. Sometimes people that return with thanksgiving are just 2, sometimes 5, sometimes 10. And look at the secret of this. Look at one thing that shocked me when I was looking at this last night. If you get to the, see the next verse, that's verse 18. They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Do you know, go, next verse. Do you know why he called him a stranger? The guy was a Samaritan. There were 10 healed. 9 of them were Jews. 1 was a Samaritan. It was a Samaritan that came back. Okay, let me put it in this context. There were 10 that were healed. 9 were born again. 1 was an unbeliever. Only the unbeliever came back to say thank you. It is something that, you know, the reason is because it's easy for a believer to get so familiar with the doings of God. Are you following me, church? That when it happens, I'm just like, ah, yeah, thank God, it has happened. The other Jews, they were familiar. You know, God, our Father, we know him now. Yeah, I'm healed. Fine. Only one came back. Funny enough, he was a stranger, a Samaritan. So when there is a miracle worked for you, you return with thanksgiving. When prayer is answered, you return with thanksgiving. Let me add one more. When you are in lack, you respond with thanksgiving too. Now notice something the Bible did not tell us. The Bible didn't tell us to thank God for everything. 1 John 5. It didn't say thank God for everything. But it said thank God in everything. So when there is lack, you don't say, Father, thank you because I don't have money. No. You don't thank God for lack. Lack is of the devil. Remember I told you that as a way? Lack is of the devil. So you don't thank God for lack. But you thank God in lack. Come on, church. You don't thank God for poverty. But you thank it even if you're in poverty. You don't thank God for sickness. You don't say, Father, oh, thank you for making me for this sickness, this cancer. Ah, glory to God. But if you have cancer, you thank God in cancer. John 6 tells us, verse 11, of how Jesus had finished a 3 days crusade, and then they needed to feed the people that came. And there was no food. Except 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What did he do? He took the loaves and the fish and lifted it up and did what first? Gave thanks. Listen to me, friends. When you and your house don't have enough food to eat, when you bring out your gari to eat, to drink, give thanks. You know, this example would have made more sense in, 5 years ago. Today, gari is not even a poor man's food again. How much is one cup? How much? One cup is? It depends on where you're coming from. But when you bring out your gari to drink, you give thanks. Notice it was when Jesus prayed no single prayer for a miracle here. He gave thanks. The thing multiplied. And I kind of believe that when we begin to give thanks in the midst of lack, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of challenges, we are making room for the miracle to happen. So in everything, give thanks. When there is a miracle, give thanks. When there is lack, give thanks. The Bible tells us that when we receive food, whether it's enough or not, we should give thanks. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4, I think verse 4 and 5, that food must be received with thanksgiving. So you give thanks. So even if at this moment you don't have everything you need, you give thanks. So when there is a miracle, you receive the give thanks. When there is lack, you give thanks. Let me even add one more. When you are expecting a miracle, you expect a miracle with thanksgiving. The Bible tells us in John chapter 11 verse 41, when Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus, first thing, before he began to say, Lazarus, come forth, he said, Father, I thank you for you have heard me. First thing. When you are standing in the face of a difficult situation, your first response, thank you. And if you're a wise member, you must be able to observe how I pray. I observe how I pray. I can hardly pray for you without first saying, Father, thank you. There's no matter what is wrong. And even if somebody is dead here, once I get there, just say, Father, thank you. You must have, it's from just I learned it from. He came before a man that has been dead for 4 days. First thing he said is, thank you, Father. And that was why thanking God? He's still dead.
He has no reason. But he's expecting a miracle. So, Father, thank you. If you still have some expectation in December, you start with, Father, thank you. You know, I say to people, when you listen to a man's prayer and a man's songs, you can tell how much revelation he has. How do you know Paul was deep in revelation? Go and read his prayer. That of God and Father of our Lord Jesus. Yeah, look at his prayer life. So much as our prayer life is, it depicts how much shallow we are. When you are in the face of a challenge, first thing, Father, the money is not enough. Father, they give you a quick notice. First thing, Father, thank you. I'm not saying it's because it's Thanksgiving. So that's why I told you, the instructions you are receiving is not for, for this season. It's for a lifetime. Quick notice. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for providing all things. Thank you for making all things available for me. Thank you for always being there. Start from there. When there's a miracle expecting, Father, thank you. The Bible also told us how Abraham was waiting for the birth of Isaac. Romans chapter 4. He said, I'm being not weak in faith. He staggered not at the promise through unbelief, but was strong in faith. That's Romans verse 20. Giving glory to God. So Abraham was waiting for the birth of Isaac, giving glory to God. When you're expecting a miracle, you expect a miracle in, with thanksgiving. Are you following me? Are you following me, church? Ah, you didn't come with your voice today. Are you following me? I think very soon I'm going to bring this thing down so I can be. Can you hear me? Thanksgiving. So Abraham was waiting for Isaac. Why is the Isaac coming? Thanksgiving. And so it's not just because it's Thanksgiving Sunday. You wait for a child with thanksgiving. You wait for the job with thanksgiving. So it's an everyday thing. In everything. In lack, give thanks. A miracle, give thanks. Waiting for an answer, give thanks. In everything. So you must learn to respond with thanksgiving. Are you following me? In everything. Whether it is enough, you can give God thanks. I know that's something, that's a warning I want to sound. I sound this warning every year. Do be very careful not to forget the goodness of God. The easiest things to forget are the good things that happen to us. The easiest things to remember are the bad things that happen to us. Psalm 103 verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not. It's a warning. David was instructing that my heart, my soul. Forget not his benefits. Because it's easy to forget. Forget not his benefits. Sometimes a guy, I used to teach up memories of God's goodness. Remember that? Where you have to deliberately make some marks. And I think it was Andrew Mark or so, I was reading his story. He said, I think he was trying to step out of his house. There was a dramatic miracle of deliverance where something fell off from the roof and would have hit him. And somehow he didn't hit him. You know what this man did? He brought that stone and dug the earth and planted it there and marked it as something to always remember the day God delivered him. Are you following me, church? It's very easy. Let me ask you, have you ever been at a point in your life where you feel like God is not there? God doesn't care. Has that happened to you? What brings you to that point is forgetfulness. It's very easy to forget the things God has done. One major problem believers have is that believers have a very short memory. Many believers, short memory, short memory. Short memory. In fact, when you hear them talk about relationships, you know they have a very short memory. Two people have been very close friends. One day, when I hear the person say things like, that girl has never done anything good for me in my life. Short memory, short memory. So if you guys have been friends for like 5 years, and because she collected your slippers, she has never done anything good for you. Memory is short. Are you following me this morning? Short memory. Where is God? Where is God? Why? Why are you asking? Is he missing? Say, but where is he? Inside of you. Why is he asking where is God?
He failed an exam.
Now, look, watch this. Oh. He failed an exam. I said, where is God? Even people that are not born again, they passed the exam. Now, this guy has been passing every other exam. This guy was almost robbed the other day and God delivered him. This guy was sick, but he was healed. This guy, but then immediately he failed the exam. Where is God? So suddenly God is missing. Are you following me this morning? Very short memory. Judges 8:33. This was the issue Israel kept having every time. This is why Israel kept disobeying. Look at your screen. Judges 8:33. I kept to pass as soon as, I like, look at the Bible says, as soon as, immediately Gideon died. Now, Israel, Gideon, the fourth was when he was alive. As soon as he died, the children of Israel turned again and went to Horen after Baalim and made Baal buried their God. Now see the next verse. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God who had delivered them. So immediately the man died, they forgot. They forgot everything. Short memory. It's very easy to forget what God has done. Very easy. And that's why we hold Thanksgiving service in church to remind you. But you should have personal days where you spend time to remind yourself what God has done. There should be. And I talked to that time of keeping a diary of God's goodness. Do you remember that? Who has ever kept a diary here? Any diary in your life? Diary or journal? Journal? Anyone? Whatever you want to call it. Have you? Okay, fine. Now, what are the most popular things in your journal? What do you write? Yeah? What happened every day in your life? The good or the bad things? What has preeminence? Bad things. Their diary. So today I was going out and I met a man. And he took my phone. Their diary, I like talking to you because he looks like you're the only one that understands me. Do you have that line in your note? So I'm going to talk to you again today because today I was very heartbroken. Something happened this morning. You just recount it. You must be, immediately Gideon died. As soon as he died. Like they were waiting for him to die. Don't be stupid. Some of you, as soon as your mentor leaves your life, it's over. You forget everything God has done. Some person, and it is a terrible thing to have a very short memory. As soon as he died. Let me show you a long read. Let's do a long read. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 6. Put up like an NLT because of our time so that we can enjoy this. Deuteronomy 8 verse 6. Hallelujah. Just warning you today. Don't forget God's goodness. I keep this one in every year. He says, so obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, flowing streams and pools of water. Say amen. Amen. With fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and the hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. You are coming into that land. I say you've come into that land. It's a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is as abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Now that is one thing. When you have everything you need, that is when you should be more careful. So it was a warning. So when prayers are answered, Pastor, when church has grown, when ministry is booming, are you getting me? When your children are doing well, when you have your dream job, when all those things have happened, that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, And when your flocks and herd have become very large, and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be what? Be careful. Are you following me this morning? Be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget. He gives them, don't forget. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with his poisonous snakes and scorpions. Don't forget where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. Don't forget. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did this so you will never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Don't forget. Verse 18 is key. Remember the Lord your God. We say this every day. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. Remember. Never get to that point. Because as you get bigger, as prayers have been answered, never forget. That is why Israel, they didn't heed to this. So that's why with every small thing that happens, the next thing you are going to see is, where is God? Let's go back to Baal. These guys, now think of the Israelites. There were 10 plagues in Egypt. Not one, 10. All of them dramatic. The whole river Nile turned to blood. That's miraculous. I get to the point. Miraculous happenings. These guys stood before Red Sea. Not in the spirit. Physically, Red Sea parted. They looked back, they saw a pillar of cloud behind them, physically. And then they passed. And immediately they entered the wilderness, less than 1 month. They didn't have food to eat. And they began to ask Moses, why did you bring us out in the first place? We should have stayed in Egypt to be eating cucumber and garlic. Garlic. And that's how some of us, that's how we structure our life. Today we are doing Thanksgiving, we are watching, what am I even going to thank God for today? You have soon forgotten. So suddenly, eating garlic is now a good thing. Have you taken garlic before? So sweet. I don't know how people take it. They take it and say, talk to people. Why are you talking to me? If you take it, just move. Go ahead. God bless you. They're like, take onions. And they say to your neighbor, don't say to any neighbor in this place. Don't try it. You take onions, put on nose mask. So that you can perceive what you're about to give out. Your nose mask is powerful. You put it on. When you talk, you eat your... You see that you want to give somebody, you inhale it. But it suddenly became a good thing. We should have been in Egypt eating garlic. Forgetfulness. Forgetfulness. Who is following me this morning? Forgetfulness. Let me show you. This same thing happened. After this warning, they fell for it. Psalm 78 verse 9. Psalm 78 verse 9. Glory to God. He says, come on, are you there? Psalm 78 verse 9, or do I walk with my notes? He said, the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows turned back in the day of battle. Now continue. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. Do you know why they did this? They forgot his work and his wonders that he has showed them. When you forget, because there was now a battle, Ephraim ran back. They were afraid. What causes fear? Sometimes forgetfulness. If you remember the previous deliverances, where there is a new issue before you, you are not shaken. The God that got you out of the other one will bring you out of this one. Are you following me this morning? But they forgot his works, they forgot everything. So when there was battle, they ran back. They ran back. Then you see why there is a new challenge before you, and you are wondering, how am I going to cope? You've forgotten. Let me say this to you, there is nothing new under the sun. There is no challenge you are facing now that God has not brought you out of a similar challenge in the past. No, I said no challenge. Are you following me? No challenge. So it is foolish to ask where is God. He's inside of you. See the next verse. They forgot his work. They forgot his wonders. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers.
and the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan, okay? He divided the sea. He was trying to say, look at what they forgot. He divided the sea. He caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also, he led them with a cloud. And all the night with a light of fire. He cleft the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. All this he did for these guys. And they forgot. They sinned against him. Because, go to verse 40, go to our time. They forgot. It's very easy to forget. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Now see the next verse. Yet they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One. I like this phrase. They limited. Now, this verse changed my life some years ago. They limited. So man is God's limitation. Are you getting me? How far God will go in a man's life, the man himself is the limitation. So the miracle Israel saw, where God stopped was where they stopped. They were not. I get what I'm talking about this morning. Now, why did they limit the Holy One of Israel? See the next verse. They remembered not his hand. They forgot. No, did they, when he delivered them from the enemy, they forgot. They didn't remember how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and all his wonders. They forgot. And so, there is a big challenge in your eye. You're the one that called it big. And you're wondering, how can I handle this? How am I going to survive this? The reason you are thinking that way, you've forgotten that God has been good. Are you following me? They limited the Holy One of Israel. They soon forgot. And so, before I continue this morning, be sure to never forget all he has done. Has God been good to you? Has he changed your life? What is one very powerful, important event? Don't just tell me God blessed you. One powerful, one important event that you can remember this year that you are so grateful to God about. Is there anyone? Is there anything like that? Share it with your neighbor. Yeah. Share it with your neighbor. Try. The one you can tell the person. One important event. Don't say, oh, God blessed me. No, one important event. The one you know that is God. Now go around this one. Make sure you're talking to somebody that someone is talking to you. Come on. Woo! They soon forgot. They soon forgot. If your neighbor is not talking to you, he did not receive anything from God this year. You will see why I asked you to do this shortly. Amen. They forgot. So, do you remember? Let's try something else. Still, that's your neighbor. Share with that person one important thing the Lord did for you in the year 2018. Think, take your time. 2018. Take your time. Where were you 2018 first? Is your neighbor making sense? 2018. Can you remember? Do we track back a little more? If I say 2010, that's the year some of you are born. So,
Let's not go there. Glory to God. It's very easy to forget. 2:15. Who remembers? Do you remember? Because if I'm not careful, all the things that happened to us this year, by 2030, we can't remember anyone again. Hallelujah. Can't remember anyone again. And that's why some fathers don't even know the year their children were born. Glory to God. As long as your father meets you and says, have you written Wayek? He said, Daddy. Glory to God. Has that happened to you? Your dad, share your alarm in second year, say, Daddy. Final year. He said, oh! Glory to God. Say, I do not forget. I do not forget. We're going to give God praise this morning. Amen? And I'll ask you to remember. Let me say a few things before we close. Let me talk about 4 or 5 ways you praise God. You do your thanksgiving. First, you praise God or you thank God with words. With words in prayer. When something happens to you, we're going to talk about praising God. You must know how. You thank God with your words. When something happens to you, learn to lift your voice. I didn't say in your heart. You see, that way you opened your mouth to say, Father, I need this. Open your mouth to say, Father, thank you. Hebrews 13 verse 15. It tells us we must praise God with the fruit of our lips. With the fruit of our lips. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So you must lift your voice and talk. And we're going to practice all of this morning. Amen? You must lift your voice and talk. Oh, Father, thank you. And I like saying to God, you are faithful, but I also like being very specific in my thanksgiving. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for healing me on so day. Thank you for giving me admission on this day. Thank you for giving me this job. I get to the point. You lift your voice and thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for all the things you've done for me. So you lift your voice and you are talking. You are saying something. So your mouth must talk. So first you thank God with your tongue, with your mouth, your words. Father, thank you for saving me. Thank you for opening. Lift your voice all over this place. Let's just say that to God. Thank you for, but let me say, not to your heart, lift your voice all over this place. Thank you, Father, for being my God. Thank you. Just say something beautiful. Remember the things he has done for you. Lift your voice and thank him for those things. Let's do that. Come on. Thank you for the house. Thank you for the job. Thank you for the car. Thank you for the deliverance. Thank you. Let me hear you all over this place. Let all of us rise. Let me have someone on the keyboard. Let all of us rise. Just say thank you. Lift your voice all over this place. Yes, I want to hear you. Mean what you're saying. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Your voice should be louder so you are giving thanks. Yeah, that's how to do it. Lift your voice. Say something. Come on. Lift your voice. That's the fruit of your lips. That's the fruit of your lips. Let your voice rise. Take 3 more minutes. Yeah. Let somebody's voice rise higher and higher in this place. As you give him praise, let your voice rise higher all over this place. Mean what you're saying. Close your eyes, lift your hands, lift your voice. Let's give him praise this morning. Don't just say thank you for everything. Be specific. Thank you for the supply, for the prayers answered.
Whoosh!
Thank you for the souls won, for all he did. Thank you. Come on. The souls won, the job gotten. Lift your voice. Thank him. Take your time. With every praise that I am able. Don't worry, just thank him. I will see. Lift your voice, just thank him. All my life you have been faithful. All my day you have been so, so good. Every praise that I have made, I will sing of the goodness. All my life you have been faithful. Let me hear your voice rise in this place. All my life you have been so, so good. With every praise that I have made, I will sing. Lord, you have been so good. You are so good to me.
Oh Lord, you are excellent in my life. Lord, you are
so good, Father.
You are so good, Father. To me.
So good, Father. Thank you, Father, for church. Thank you, Father, for men and men. Thank you, Father, for men growing spiritually. Thank you, Father, for the healings, the miracles, the testimonies, the answers to prayers. Thank you, Father, for the deliverance you wrought for us and in us. Thank you, Father, for the growth, for the progress made. Thank you for all the souls won. Thank you for all the supplies given. Thank you for all that you have done for us. Oh, thank you, Father, for being Jesus. Thank you for being supplier. Thank you for being provider. Thank you for being protector. Thank you. Thank you for start the fire. Thank you for raise of facts. Thank you for Zoe. Thank you for LMP. Thank you for all the meetings. Thank you for all the meetings. Thank you for the people you gave chunks in this place. The people you healed in this place. The people you provided for. Thank you, Father. Jesus' name. That hurts. So when one way to give God is with the fruit of your lips, you lift your voice. Don't say, well, I'm taking God in my heart. You didn't ask him in your heart. You asked him with your words. You lift your voice very loud. So your words. Another way you thank God, for instance, apart from your words, is with songs. It's still words, or damn, with songs. Just like we did now. With songs. Learn, I was teaching you on Friday night. Learn to thank God with a song. Learn to lift your voice alone in your room and sing out loud. Sing out loud in your room. When we are in church, when we are singing, that's what I teach you. When we are singing, don't listen. Sing along. If it's a song to bless you, for you to just listen. There are songs that are instructions when God is talking to you. Fine. But when we are singing and praising God, if I'm saying I lift my hands, I am talking about myself. You must talk about yourself too. And sing aloud. I get the point. You praise God with a song. Psalm 95 and verse 2. With the psalmist will tell us more and more about how you praise God with a song. And he says, so you must praise God. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Let and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms.
When he says with psalms, there he's talking about songs. Proper, like NLT or so. With psalms. With psalms. Hallelujah. NLT says, let us sing psalms of praise to him. Hallelujah. You sing. It's so when you give God thanks, I say, one with your words, again with psalms. Amplify said, let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. So singing is one major way. I'm trying to show you something here. We don't just come to church to waste time. That's why I used to teach you guys. Singing time is not a time we used to wait for pastor to preach. Learn to lift your hands and give him praise. Hallelujah. So with songs. So you praise God with your words. You praise God with songs. In Psalm 92 verse 1. Oh, la frequente English. You are faithful. You are good.
You are faithful. You are good.
Sing it again.
You are faithful. You are good.
Charlie.
You are faithful. You are good.
Since you have blessed me.
More than I dreamed of. You've been so good. More than I can explain.
Sing it again.
You have blessed me. More than I dreamed of. You've been so good.
Like
more than I can explain. You have blessed me. More than I dreamed of. You've been so good. More than I can explain.
Ah.
You have blessed me. More than I dreamed of. You've been so good. More than I can explain. You have blessed me.
Let's chant it all about his grace.
More than I dreamed of. You've been so good.
Yes, 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 yes.
More than I can explain.
You have blessed me.
You have blessed me. More than I dreamed of, you've been so good.
Too
more than I can
explain.
You have blessed me.
Sing for yourself, come on.
More than I dreamed of,
for yourself, come on.
You've been so good. More than I can explain.
You have blessed me.
You have blessed me. More than I dreamed of, you've been so good. More than I can explain. You are faithful, you are good. You are faithful, you are good.
Start your testimony, let's sing it again like three times.
You are faithful, you are good. You are faithful, you are faithful, you are.
You are
faithful. You are so good.
You are
so faithful. You are so faithful.
He said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy holy name. So one way to give thanks to him is to sing praises. Are you following me? Learn to, see the principles about singing. Is unto the Lord. You don't need to know how to sing. Is unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Be thy glory.
Great King, he has done.
I want to hear your voice. That's why I don't want back up. I want your voice to rise. Just one back up. That's one. Just one person back up. I want your voice to rise all over this place. Sing it again. Unto the Lord.
Unto the Lord.
Let your voice rise. Come on.
Lord,
sacred things. One more time, each of us. Say praise be. Let's speak like two more times. Let me see what's done. Let that be seen with you. Let me hear you sing now.
Has God done great things with songs? The psalmist tells us that's Psalm 9 verse 2. He said, I'll be filled with joy because of you. I'll be glad and rejoice indeed. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou most high. I will sing. For a moment, I was teaching you on Friday night how to practice singing alone in your room. Remember I told you that? Learn to stay alone in your room and shout and sing. Because it's something that Satan also wants you to do, to lift your voice and sing praises. Sing and dance in the spirit. Paul will put it this way: singing and making melody in your heart. In your heart. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In your heart. Hallelujah. So you sing. So second way I say you give God thanks by singing. Thirdly, you give God thanks with a dance. I thought about it on Friday night, remember? A dance. You see, when you dance, especially if your dancing is in the spirit. Remember I talked about dancing in the spirit on Friday. If it's in the spirit, you're rejoicing in the spirit, you're dancing in the spirit, it is enough thanksgiving to God. Once it's not done in the flesh, I'll show you in the Bible shortly. Once you are not just dancing because you're trying to entertain, if you're dancing in the spirit, like I told you, get a message on Friday night. You're dancing in the spirit, responding to all God has done for you, and you're moving your body in thanksgiving. That is a lot of praises to God. So you praise Him with a dance. Psalm 149 verse 3. We saw that. I saw a lot of these scriptures on Fridays. I'll just read two. Psalm 149 verse 3. With a dance. Say, let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing. He talks about singing again. Praise this unto Him with a timbrel and harp. So let to praise God. So when we are singing and we are dancing, we are praising God. Praise Him in the dance. You don't need to know how to sing. You don't need to know how to dance. Just make sure that however you are moving your body, however, whatever it looks like in the outside, amen, make sure you are responding to a sound of the Spirit, to what God has done, to what He's doing for you. Dance like that. Even if your dancing is so funny. Can you see now? Glory to God. Even if you dance like maybe Minister Osiyoba or something, just dance. Say amen. Let it just come from your heart. Glory. That's the important thing. Doesn't matter whether there are 1 million mothers around you, 1 million Rosemary's around you. Don't mind them. Just dance. Whether they are laughing at you and they are videoing you with their phone. Say amen. Let him sing. Let them praise them in the dance. In the dance. Psalm 150 verse 4. Just the next verse. In the dance. Psalm 150 verse 4. Praise him with the timbrel and dance.
So you can praise God with a dance. When it says timbrel, it's mentioning musical instruments. So if we begin to play this instrument as we're playing it now, and we are playing it and we're playing a spiritual song, we are praising God. As I told you, even these things can be very spiritual. David played instrument for Saul, and evil spirits tormenting him left him. It's about the hands playing and what you are responding to. Remember I mentioned that on Friday, what you are responding to. So we're playing and all this. Dance is one way you give your praise. And I taught you on Friday, it's not just what you do in church. When you go home, how long have you practiced the dance when you went home on Saturday morning? You dance around your need. Learn this thing. When they give you a sack letter, if they send it to your mail, keep it and dance around it and shout. So where did you learn that from? From the Bible. There is a big wall of Jericho before you. So Lord, what should you do? March around it and shout. Are you following me? Learn to praise God with a dance. Learn to praise Him with a dance. We must be deliberate Christians. We must be intentional Christians. What I mean is, don't only dance when the music is hot and sweet. What if the sound has a problem? What if the mic is not working? That's when we know whether you are really dancing. Because you must respond to the things in your heart. What if there's no music? That's why I told you to dance without music. What if nobody is singing? Hallelujah. That's why sometimes I tell you to rejoice. That's a dance. And when I ask you to rejoice in this church and you see find people doing crazy stuff, don't just sit, watch around and say, these guys are just so crazy here. Respond with a dance too. And I don't care your temperament. Hallelujah. How long before you came into this place? The first day you came here and saw us rejoicing in the Holy Ghost, it looked strange. Let me see. So what are they doing? How many of you observed? So how many of you before you came in here, you are very reserved. You can't even move your body in the public. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But then suddenly, as growth begins to happen, I don't think it's any of this. I think it's from here. So we can stop that thing. Hallelujah. Suddenly, as growth begins to happen, you can begin to, you know, release yourself to praise God with a dance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you praise Him with a dance. Praise Him with a timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. What is this? Is it a mic? Hallelujah.
Okay.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Still sounding somehow. That's not how I talk. So number four. You praise Him with your gifts. Hallelujah. So first I say you praise God with your words. You praise Him with a song. You praise Him with what? A dance. Thirdly, you praise Him with what? Your gifts. So your gifts will refer to money, things. What I mean is this. When God does something good for you, it is not out of place to praise Him with material gifts. It's something we don't teach a lot in many new creation churches. But I can tell you, it's scripture and I'm going to show you. I'll show you with 101 Old Testament verses and I'll show you with some New Testament verses. So when something you praise Him with a gift, look at maybe Leviticus Okay, before that, Psalm 107 verse 21. Psalm 107 verse 21. Hallelujah. Are you there? I said, are you there? Do you have a voice this morning? Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 22. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. He's talking about what the sacrifice is talking about. It's like cross-blood come with goats, with rams, of thanksgiving, and let them declare his work with rejoicing. Hallelujah. With rejoicing. Glory to God. You see, Psalm 116 verse 17. Psalm 116 verse 17. Hallelujah. I will offer to thee sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon another and say, so how are you sure these are material things? I will show you again. First Chronicle 29 verse 12. First Chronicle 29. So when something happens for you, you give God praise with your words. You give him praise with a dance. You give him praise. Amen. With all of that, then you bring your gift. If God has blessed you with material things, he said, both riches and honor come of thee. And thou readiness. Let me tell you what was happening here. This was when David was, when they had gathered money and stuffs to build the house of God. So he told him, you see, all in thy, okay, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Next verse. Quickly, next verse. Now therefore our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. So they were thanking and praising God. But if you read the preceding verses, they had come with gold, they had come with animals, they had come with things to thank God. So they were not just making this prayer. And so that's why it's not out of place. Oh, God has blessed me. Like this morning, we're going to have some people come and thank God specially. Amen. And that it's not just about, did they just want to come and show us they can dance? No. It's good when God has done something for you. It's not out of place to say, Father, I want to bring this to say thank you. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 29. Maybe that will be just one more. He said, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering. I had to put this for the last. Give the Lord glory unto his name. Bring what? An offering. And come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. So that's why sometimes when God does something for you, it's good to respond with something. Say, but I'm just going to come and then you notice when this is another thing to do, for instance, might be if there is a vessel that God used in the whole process, bring an offering of thanksgiving to him and say, thank you. Now, you're not thanking him. Amen. You are thanking the God that used him. But then you say, why can't I give it to God direct? Was he God that prayed for you direct? Amen. So in locating the man used, you are locating God. Amen. You go to Amadi or her shrine, they ask you, bring the God's wants. Who are you going to give it to? Hallelujah. So you notice, you give God praise with those things. I just had to mention that in passing. It's not out of place. So that's why this morning God has done something for you this year. Thanksgiving services like this are days to prepare. I'm going to give a big offering this morning. There are days to do such things. Plan it. But let me even teach you a secret. Whenever God does something for you, especially if that stuff is around finances, come with a gift to thank him. Locate whatever method was used. Say, Father, I want to see this now. That, you know, there are gifts you give unto the Lord. But when you bring this particular one, say, I'm bringing this to thank God specifically for this particular issue. I get the point. That's what Jesus, God was trying to teach him in the Old Testament by bringing first fruits. Such that when you plant in your planting season, when harvest come and your fruit has produced, before you start eating, you bring a portion and say, thank you, Jesus. That's something they call in the Old Testament, something they call a wave offering. When you wave it just to thank God, you bring stuff, say, but I'm giving you this as a way to thank you. Are you following me? It's not out of place. So God gives you this and that. God gives you a job. You get your pay. Get something. Say, Father, I want to thank you. That's why, you know, this was a teaching on honor. But some persons, the way they treat God is how they treat man. The only time they remember that maybe the man of God exists when there is a need. Sometimes I know, because I'm going to talk about the last thing before we close. Sometimes I know when you have a need. I just don't know when it has been solved. I know because you will tell me to pray. When it is done, you disappear. That's wrong. When the Lord blesses you, it was a coach, Old Testament, you must return with something. Say, Father, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. You've given us all these things. The way David put it, David said, out of what you've given to us, we are returning this to you. So all these things you gave us, but I want to return this. It's a heart of thanksgiving. Are you following me, church? The way Paul will put it in the New Testament, when he was talking about giving to ministers and all that, 1 Corinthians 9, 11, 12, 13, 14, he said, if we have ministered spiritual things to you, he said you must respond with material things. So we come to you and we minister something to you, maybe, and then it happens, you must return to say, oh, I'm not thanking you. I'm thanking you actually for allowing God to use you. But I'm thanking the God that sent you. Because I cannot send 1 million to him, but I can send it to you. I get to the point. So you must have that heart of thanksgiving. So I've said 4 things already, amen? Number 1, how do you praise God? It was. Number 2, number 3, a dance. Are you going to dance this morning? That's why we're going to give offering today. We're going to dance out. We don't usually do that, but we're going to do this one. Feel free with your dance. If you feel you're not dancing very well, close your eyes so that nobody will see, so that you don't know anybody's looking at you. Just close your eyes and move your body. Hallelujah. And you really know some believers can dance. They just don't dance it in church. Their wedding days, they will shock you. You see moves you've never seen before. You see, the guy, that girl is not reserved though. The guy, they're just doing big boy for God. Church is not a place for all those that put on their wedding day. You see them. Ah, you're wondering, where is this all coming from? Watch out for them. Look at looking very proper. Where do you see? Funny thing is, this song they will play on the wedding day. It's not even a Christian song. You now, I don't, so they're responding to say that. Let me save this one. How come we are singing to God? You can't dance. But once they play some kind of thing, hey, you come out. As a demon speaking to you. So I'm going to dance this one in amen. If you've not been dancing in this church, and I happen to wed you, and you dance on that day, I will not the wedding. Not, because I've lost you dancing. Once I said, walk up. You see that way you used to walk in church? Walk up to this place. Praise him with a dance. Hallelujah. Praise him with a dance. Not just in church, like I said, even in your room. Praise him with a dance. See, you're applying for a job now. That job will come. I say that job will come. When it comes, do a dance in your room. Don't just say, hey. You see, the problem is when we are praying for the job. If I say pray for money now, you will see prayer now. Hey, Kroba, it's Sharon, the Kroba, hey, it's mine, I receive. You saw those, all the mannerisms. When the job comes, the guy becomes packaged. Oh, Father, thank you. Suddenly, you are now in America. Well, asking for the job, you're in Nigeria. Oh, Lord! Please tell me. When the job comes, you're now, oh, you will. Oh, thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Stop that. You see that way you are shouting? You're in Nigeria, we know you. So I'm going to give God thanks this morning, amen? And thirdly, I said, you praise him with something. Come with a gift. It doesn't have to be big. It just has to come from your heart. Get the point? From your heart. And somehow, when you thank God, you are setting yourself up for more. For more. Hallelujah. You're setting yourself up for more. That's why I teach you all the time. For instance, we're having a special conference and you are coming. Prepare. Apart from the fact that I will attend this meeting, I'm going to go with this money to thank God for all I will receive in the meeting. So when pastor is done, sir, thank you, sir. It's something. The year is coming to an end. Part of the ways you give gratitude to God is locate all the people that have been a blessing to you this year and honor them with something. You are honoring God. You are thanking God. I get to the point. Thank you, sir, for that time. Dick. Thank you for that time. It's God that gave it. It's actually God you want to give it to. But you're not gonna throw it up to heaven. And many of us know how to do misdirected giving. Giving that don't make sense. You see the guy, he goes to a church, he receives prayers from a church, he kneels down for a pastor to bless him, he has people who are talking, he even has friends who when he has problem, he runs to them and they help him. Now this December, he will not send anything to the pastor because church is scam and pastors are eating people's money. He will not appreciate anybody. But then he goes to the street and begins to do dorine and begins to share money to everybody. That's a foolish man. What he doesn't realize is that when his money finishes, all those people that gather to eat that money, they disperse. Guess where he comes back to? All those people he ignored. Those friends he refused to appreciate. Are you following me this morning? Those friends he didn't appreciate. That pastor that he didn't remember. That friend says, I pray for me. Those his parents he refused to buy anything for this Christmas. That he wants to go back to those. Mommy will start sending rice again. No mothers are just like that. But when the money comes, he's on the streets. Also, preview, go on. He said, those guys don't like him. Oh. They don't care about him. Waiting is done. He goes, where's the pastor? Sir, I just want to talk to you. I don't know where I can meet you. Are you in your office? As always. Hallelujah. So, this, Peter, don't be stupid. I'm not saying you should not do whatever. But most of you are sharing your money to make sure you've honored very. One of the things I put in my calendar for this December, some of my people that are very close to me know, I use December to do a lot of honor. All that God has done in my life, most of me did through men. I'm going to go around, no matter what it is, say, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm thanking God. I get to the point. I'm thanking God. But then, God used you. Everything we are by God's hand. But most of them, if not all of them, happen by men. Even this thing, this you say, our pastor is a very powerful pastor. He's still man, no. Amen. He's still a man that nurtured this gift of God to this point. I get to the point. Still a man. I didn't know I could do anything. I didn't accomplish. Some of you, when you came into this place, you were actually totally very shy. Gradually, God's hand comes upon you. And then, I see some of you, and I know your story. I can say about the first day some of you did some things. Hallelujah. I'm going to do this. Even though she will not like it, I'm going to do it. It's not like Pastor Mara now. We're talking about it yesterday. Do you enjoy Pastor Mara when she ministers? Very bold, very confident. But it wasn't always like that. Well, the first day I invited Pastor Mara to minister in one meeting. Has she told you the story before? It was a meeting, so I put up the meeting and a lot of great persons were coming. I said, you're going to come sing too. She wasn't a pastor. Were you a pastor then? She wasn't a pastor, just an ordinary believer. And first she thought it was just, well, pastor is putting up his one meeting, wants me to come and sing. So she entered the meeting. The meeting had about 2,000 persons in attendance. Amen. So she came in and looked at, you know, when you look at the crowd is looking back at you. Should I tell them? What significantly happened that day? Amen. Now, this is not recently, that's some years back now. But that very day, you know, as a lady, you come with your flat, she'll come with your heel. So she came with her flat, she said, when it's time to minister, she'll be put on her heel and go upstage. So when they now say, they invite to the stage, Minister Amara, she forgot the heel. What the flat, she went upstage. And I was just standing in front of that place, lifting up my hands. And it was a powerful ministration, all the same. Point is, we didn't all just become like this. Amen. I'm talking about Mina Amara this morning. Sister Amara Kocho. And I remember the first day, that was old Vinnie. Recently, I called out, it wasn't come and sing. Something like that. It was just the... Everything we become by men. Do you understand? It's only a foolish man that will tell you,
I got here by myself. He's a fool. He will soon go down. I get him. You got here by yourself? It's not even a spiritual thing. I say, even in the physical. A man has to hold your hand. And may God bring you to such men. In any area of your life that you need the help of men, may you find such men in the name of Jesus. Because some of you, that's one significant thing that will happen to you in 2023. God will bring, because you need men that will hold your hands and climb. It's not hard. One contact, your life changes. Hallelujah. No, point is, you give thanks to God. You can bring material things. You say, Father, I want to say thank you. Today is Thanksgiving. Okay? People are going to come thank God here. Make it a habit too. Once in a while, when they see, you know, this is something we find in our Orthodox church setting. It's not out of place. When a significant thing happens in your life, and you just want to come and thank God for something, to practice that. I get the point. Now, if your church, or if you don't have the opportunity to do that, to come out and dance and do whatever, fine. Bring something. I want to thank God for what He did for me. It's a sacrifice of thanks. It's from your heart. Finally, you thank God. I put this for the last class. We are lacking there. We praise God and we thank Him via testimonies. Sharing with others what God has done. When you begin to share with others what God has done, it's a way of praising God. In fact, it's not just a way of praising God. It's a way of praising God and inviting others to praise God with you. So Psalm 107 tells us in verse 21, I read it already, verse 21 and 22. Psalm 107, 21 and 22. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to children of men. Oh, that men. Say, let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare His works. I wanted to say that word. So He said we should declare His words. One of the ways you thank God is to declare His words. So if something happens for you, come up and share your testimony. Send it in. It's a way you are thanking God and you are calling people to thank God with you. You're also steering faith in the heart of people. Let them declare His works with rejoicing. Hallelujah. And we've had some amazing testimonies this morning, Abby. Let them declare His works with rejoicing. The problem is, all those testimonies you've had, there are 1,000 times more that are not shared. It's a bad culture. It's a bad culture. Hallelujah. Very bad culture. When something has happened, the Bible says, has the Lord saved you? Tell of it. Tell of it. Psalm 9 verse 1. Where is it? I'll just read it again for you. Psalm 9 verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will shew forth. So in other words, I will announce it. I will shew forth all that marvelous. I won't keep it to myself. I won't say, oh, He has blessed me. It's in my pocket. No. Let people know that God has healed you. Let Him know. Let them know that God has delivered. Let them know that God has provided for you. Even though I teach you here. Anyway, don't bother about it. If you're sending your testimony to us, don't be discreet. If you're sending it, you're typing it. When we read it, we'll read it with discretion. In case you don't know, we teach testimonies. Hope you know. I'll tell you why we do that. If you send me your testimony, I will edit it before we put it out. So you are free to be free, but I will edit it. I will not change the details, but then I edit it because of discretion. There are some things I don't want. For instance, your testimony you put, and then the man paid me $100,000. I'm not going to announce that. I'll just announce that the man paid me a lot of money. Do you know what I'm saying? Put the figures, but we'll edit it. If you are the one to share it up here, apply discretion. Some things are not possible. The point is God provided for you. I think that's the important thing. Amen? There are many reasons we don't do that, you know. One, we shouldn't expose it to danger. You come up here and announce, the man gave me $200 million, say, As you're going home, some people are just following you. Say, good evening. Won't know how you are doing. Are you fine? And then, like I always say, if it's a brother that gave testimony, some sisters will now begin to greet. I was so glad when you gave that testimony. Do you have my number? Just expose, some things are not necessary. Hallelujah, that some things are not necessary. But then, and there are some things, even if it's a healing testimony, we just consists on is also to protect. For instance, somebody is testifying of something that, of course, may not want everybody to know the details you can keep. But then, apart from keeping things secret and all that, we must share the testimonies. People should know what God has done. They should know what God has done. One of our dear ones here recently got something. You know, got a car. And he told me, he said, I don't know. I just want to keep it down. Last time I said, if someone had died for you, will you keep it down? You come and tell us, all of us will come and cry. We will not keep it down. Bring it openly. Say amen. If somebody had died now, sure of us will know. Sure will come and cry. Are you following the point? If the Lord blesses you. Now, there's a difference between sharing testimonies and showing off. I understand his heart, you know. There's a thin line. Some people, they just want to show off. I don't get the point. That's not sure. You don't do anything to you. Anyway, this is not even a church where you show off. You don't even care what you have. Nobody even wants to know. Sometimes, I love this church, amen? If I'm not a pastor, I'll be a member. Sometimes the person you are showing off to is bigger than you. He's just smiling. He's not the day will say, introduce them to your neighbor, tell them what you do. Because he will not tell you, I'm the this. So you are just come home and say, good evening, my name is. And I love maturity here. I should tell my minister, some people that you see that walk like this, they don't have anything. See that humble spirit, that humble heart. People meet me outside and say, what's your name? I'm Henry. And then the person will tell you, I'm Professor Doctor Evangelist Doctor. He said, good, it's so good to meet you. How many of you met me for the first time outside a church setting? For the very first time? Yes, I've seen collect. Amen. Did I met her? I got to her shop to buy something. And even when I invited her to church, she didn't know I was the pastor to the quarter. Just invited her and said, church is tomorrow. Come, you will be blessed. Amen. And I'm sure she was surprised when she came. Glory to God. So I'm not talking about showing off. Forget the point. Trying to shine or show everybody and say, I'm this, I'm that. That's not important. But when God does something for you, tell us. Don't neglect it. You write your MB and you pass. Tell us who. Because if you had failed, you'd have been crying. You would have still known. Either you tell us, either you'd have told us you failed, or you'd have stopped coming to church. Or you just come and you are moody. Somehow we're going to know. So let us know what God has done for you. Let me show you the scripture before we close. Just two more. Psalm 78 verse 4. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, who forgives all my iniquities and makes me. Bless the Lord, sing. Oh my soul, who forgives, who forgives, and makes me whole. One more time. Say, bless the Lord, sing. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Oh,
my soul.
Who forgives, who forgives. And makes me whole. One last time. Say, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Oh, who forgives, who forgives all my iniquity
and makes me whole.
Step number 3 is a practice in Israel. It's a stories which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Verse 4. Remember, you skipped. Our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. So the things God has said, we will not hide them. It's a practice. That's why some of you, as you are growing, some of the things God is doing in your youth now, make sure you tell your children. Are you following me? Tell them. You are building their own faith in God. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he had done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which commanded our fathers
that they should make known them to their children. Verse 6. That the generation to come might know them, even the generation, the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So he said, we are going to tell our children that they will tell their own children. This is the secret. This is why till today we know that God divided the Red Sea. Because they've been passing it down from generation to generation. If that thing had happened to us in Nigeria today, by 2030, people would have forgotten. But the Israelites have a pattern. Are you getting me? Tell your children. Instruct them to tell their own grandchildren. That they might set their hope in God. Do you see the point? Why are we telling them that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God? Remember, I'm going back to how I started. Don't forget God's word. How will you make sure you don't forget? Share the testimony. Anything you keep talking about, you will remember. Have you noticed that there are stories in this church that I've told you more than 100 times? That if I start it, you can complete it. It's a very big secret. Talk about the things God has done. I can gist you about the visions I had the day God called me. The day God showed me this, that in my head, I will tell you. In fact, next year, January, I'll still tell you. Next year, if you call 50 years after, you hear it. And check every great man of God you know. Listen to Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin is so accurate, he tells you the date, the time. He'll tell you that day it was a Tuesday evening. I was on a red jean and a blue polo at around 7:47 a.m. I had a vision. That's Brother Hagin. So accurate. And you see that same thing, all the men. Look at Bishop Oyedepo. He said, 1981, the liberation mandate came. They can tell you when it happened. Hallelujah. You must keep such records. So when God has done something for you, talk about it. Tell your friends. Tell us in church. Put it out everywhere. Because if something bad happens, we will come. I get to the point. If you buy, or not if, when you buy a house next year, let us know. Don't give it to yourself. There's a thing like between, I'm not talking about showing off. You get the point. You're not trying to show us, oh, I bought a house. I hope you don't have a house. Share the testimony with us. You get a car, let us know you got a car. Get in the car next year. Abi, get in the car next year. You get it, let us know. So rejoice with you. Hallelujah. When you get a job, what do? Tell us. And have some of those stories, or you can even tell your children. Just your children about your first car. How God just miraculously gave you a car. Tell them all those, so that your children will not grow up with stories of how people dealt with their father when their father was growing up. So if you like to listen to you now about your parents, story of us when growing up. How the grandmother was wicked. How the mother-in-law refused, or the stepmother refused to give him food. Painful things, I'm sorry, happened to them. But I wish you can fill our children with better stories. Stories of God's goodness. Start it. Start telling your friends. Start talking to us in church. Don't neglect anything. I like the testimony this morning. Somebody talked about a shoe. You know, that's the amazing thing about how God does it. Like, he might say it's not just a shoe. Well, it was just a shoe because it was a shoe he asked for. You know the miracle in this? The miracle in this is that you stay in your room without talking to anybody. And you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need a shoe. And then suddenly somebody comes and says, take shoe. That is supernatural. I don't get the point. Because we miss the supernatural whatever in this whole thing. It is not just a... Imagine you just said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need handkerchief. And suddenly somebody comes with the exact handkerchief. How did he know? So when you prayed, an angel went and put it in his heart. I get to the point. Share those testimonies. You know, my dad, maybe I'll close with this. My dad fought the Civil War as a young child. He was about 14, 15. By then, his mates were not supposed to go for war, but there were circumstances around him that made him go to war. Say amen. Say, are you 14? Or 15? There's a story my dad used to tell us. All my siblings know that story. How he ran into a house. You know the story, Shay?
You know the story? Ran into your house. During the war, people were already running. He ran into the house, there were clothes, there were shoes, there were everything, there was even money. But you know, war has started. So when the thing started, nobody cares about it. So they've escaped. He said he saw many things. He said he was thinking of what to pick. If you pick suit, where are you going to wear it? Or you carry shoe, where will you wear the shoe? Then he saw a small Bible. It's not a Bible, just a compilation of all Psalms and Proverbs. You know, some of those he could enter his pocket. He's sitting in the house yesterday. He just picked it and put it in his pocket and left. He said, throughout the war, every time there is every break, he will sit down and start reading. If you see that book and every other book that he got around that time, you will see, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. All of them. He told us, I survived war by God's mercy. I said, I had already grown when they went to remove the last bullet from his hips. Like he removed it and brought it back and showed us. He carried it for long. He didn't know it was even in there. But then he was having that, so they went, they did a surgery, they removed the bullet. I'm telling you, he told us these stories a lot and a lot. All his books, you see, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. There are things you tell your children. That book is still in the house today. Just Psalms and Proverbs. So I would say every time thank God it's Psalm. You know, Psalm, because Psalm is Psalm out. If you don't know what to do, start it in Psalm 35. Father, pursue them that pursue me. Destroy them that destroy me. And some of those prayers, that during war is now important. Deal with them that want to deal with me. Give my enemies dry breast. Let their tongues stick to the roof of their mouth. Let them not know anything good. Don't mind me. Glory to God. So learn to share your testimonies. Talk about it. Don't just keep it down. Talk about it. Always remember that Pastor Henry tells you that if it's a bad thing, you would have still told us. How? I know we live in a bad generation. I understand that part. That's why when good things happen for people, they tend to hide it so that people will not scatter. You know what I'm talking about. But then, it's bad how when people die, once somebody dies, we shout and we cry and everybody will gather. When something good happens, we pocket it. When we have a need, we call the whole world. When there is a good thing, we put it in our pocket. Let us know that God gave you a job. It even helps us know that our prayers are working. I didn't get the point. It helps us know when to stop praying for you over that issue and when to move to the next one. I get to the point. Let us know that God preserved you, that He protected you, that He delivered you. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop here for now. Amen. For now. But should I read one more scripture? 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. Even if you say one more scripture, I have about 50 in my head. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. We're going to just, once I'm done with this scripture, we'll all stand up and lift our hands and worship God for like 5 minutes. Then we'll get into the other things. Say, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. So when God does something for you, it's not something to put in your pocket. He says, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Talk about it. You go for a crusade, God heals the sick. Don't try to brag or to let us know that you're a powerful man of God, but share with all humility the things that God has done. Share it was in this place this year that we saw eye defects disappear. We saw cataracts. We saw one person that was last Sunday, we saw that testimony, that was already totally blind on one eye. And the other eye was also going down. And Lord opened both of them. So all of those things. We must talk about those things. I get the point. We must. They had deaf conditions stopped by the power of God. Deafness. Well, Kerodosha. Let me just read one testimony for you. It wasn't read. I'll just read it and then I don't know whether it was read or not, but I just feel like reading it again. Hallelujah. He said, first, I am full of gratitude to God for ordering my step to platform of grace. I'm meeting a man like Pastor Henry Onyedikachi. And then becoming a son is something I'm so grateful to God about. I'm so reluctant to write this because I felt I would not do justice to it with the keyboard. But then it will still be fair. It will still be fair to not say anything after the blessing I enjoyed in the commission of by the hands of the pastor. This is started on a very scary note. 1st of January, I almost lost my life. After the celebration of the new year, I came into sleep only to find out that I couldn't breathe again. It was so serious that I lost consciousness. Okay, I almost lost consciousness. I called Papa. He prayed for me that night and continued praying because it wasn't just a day journey. Almost the entire year was from one hospital to another. At a point, I became tired. But thank God for Pastor Henry, who always speaks strength to me from the podium without even knowing what I was going through at that time. My finances became completely shattered. No business. Bills kept slipping out of my hands. To feed became war. I became so frustrated that I almost fell into depression. But one thing I never did was to give up. Okay? To give up on God and church. Because each time I come to church, Papa would speak directly to me as though he knew what I was going through. But once I get home, it would be as though the devil was waiting. Nothing was working at all. Until that fateful day. During Man Up. Remember Man Up? Papa was giving some words by the Spirit. And I knew it was for me. And I was so sure it was going to be a game changer. Immediately I went to him and knelt down. He continued in that flow and said something to me. He said, if your spirit is not broken, you will achieve all of this. Be strong in your spirit. I stood up from there with, I can't even remember I said this thing nice. So I stood up from there with conviction that everything has changed. The whole of August and September, nothing happened. But I wasn't scared again. I was even making pledges and promises when I couldn't even see food to eat. 10 October, amen. It was like a rush. God collapsed time for me. There was a spiritual intervention. I started closing multi-million naira deals. Had back to back. That's what I said. I started closing multi-million naira deals back to back. Say amen. I'm all in. So the philanthropic works I plan doing this year, which I've already ruled out. Now in bracket, he said, of course, only person will chop, they find who to help. So he said, by God's grace and by Papa's instruction during his way, I've even exceeded my expectation in the philanthropy thing. My health is now much, much stable. I didn't really meet my targets this year in soul winning. But miraculously, God helped me to convert a cultist and a ritualist who their stories are very scary and unbelievable. Hallelujah. I thank God for my family and victories he gave us. How we all survived this challenging year is still a mystery. Like Papa said, two more miracles for me. I also want to thank God for these two more miracles that are coming. Because I am certain the year has not ended. He said, I thank God for my lovely siblings. He meant the PG family. There is no other better local church I would have been in. I love you all, he said. I was intentional about making some covenant friends this year, and God gave me real friends. I appreciate him for that. I still have much more to thank God for this year, because I am testimony personified. Lastly, I want to thank God for the gift of my man of God. My mentor and pastor, Pastor Henry Onyedikachi, I'm grateful. I would not have been able to do this year without you. I don't call you often, and I don't visit often, but sitting under your teaching did a lot for me. I love you so much, sir. My 2022 testimony and miracles continue. I'm still expecting, so I am not putting a full stop to this writing yet, because I'm still expecting. Hallelujah. And when the Lord does something for us, we must tell of it. Amen. I'm sure you heard that part of multi-million naira deals back. Hallelujah. Back to back.
Hallelujah. You see, I read this testimony because it was just a meeting and a word. Sometimes all God needs to do in your life is just to give you a word and you run with it. Change everything. Did you go with a voice to thank God this morning? Let's stand to our feet. We're going to sing on top of our voice together. Let's have the choir. We're going to just sing. I'll just take like 3-5 minutes to do that. But I like that testimony to come, that thanksgiving to come from your heart.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.